Hi, everyone. Welcome to today's podcast. It's your girl, Sara.
And your boy, Sayed.
And this podcast is called The Prepsters. I probably should have led with that.
Yeah.
This is what happens when it's day one. So I just want to do a little bit of an introduction about us. We're a fun sibling duo in the fashion scene.
I've never heard of anyone be like, we're fun.
Yeah, no.
That's our thing. That's how we're going to introduce ourselves as. Yeah, that is a little bit. But yeah, we're a fashion duo. You want to get into a little bit what you do, Sara?
Yeah, for sure. So I run a blog called The Prep Gal.
It
followed the success of my brother. I'm pretty much the Kourtney Kardashian of this situation.
Yeah, she is.
Jumping on your bandwagon.
I'm Kimberly. So my one is called The Prep Guy. It's a men's fashion lifestyle blog. And it
caters to the thick dudes.
The thick boys, yes. We stan.
And we talk about a lot of other things too in our podcast. Mental health issues. Tech is kind of a big one for us. Traveling, food.
On the podcast?
In general.
Oh, in general, yeah. Because you said on our podcast, I was like, this is brand new. I don't know what you're talking about.
No, on our blogs. And so my brother's been doing it for how many years now?
I've been public with my blog since 2014, but I've been out and about with the blog privately since 2013.
I think I'm approaching my 3-year anniversary.
No, you've been in the industry a little longer? Bit longer than that. 100%.
Really? Oh.
Maybe 2016 you came
I did.
Into it.
In like October you launched my website.
Yeah.
So to be fair, I didn't really want to do blogging. It was forced upon me. So back in the day of Instagram, we still use Instagram.
Yeah.
My brother had a very successful blog. He had a really big readership going, and I would appear in the background of his stories just bantering. And I think your followers had asked why I don't start a vlog.
Yeah, all my followers were like, who's that? And I was like, oh no, that's
who's
my sister.
Who's that fun, amazing girl?
Okay, no one said that. Let's calm down. But like, yeah, no, they were really interested in her situation. They thought she was funny and whatever.
At least someone does.
At least someone does. But yeah, no, so one day she was like...
I went from Sara Sohail to the Prep Gal overnight.
Yeah, overnight. Where were you when I...
I was at work. I was working part-time retail.
Oh, you were, yeah.
I got home on a Saturday with my tired legs helping customers.
I just rolled my eyes.
And there was a photographer who's your best friend in the car being like, let's go. We're doing a photo shoot. So I went home, changed, and that was the first photo shoot. No. Yes.
Yeah, that was the first photo shoot. Shoot. Yeah,
that was... Yeah, it was. I still remember the outfit. I remember being like, oh my god, I have to do this. it was a good time. It was very different because I'm very comfortable taking photos, but so uncomfortable in front of a camera that it was...
That's also part of it. So Sara takes all my photos, like maybe about 99%. Oh, girl, calm down. Like, at the beginning, I was working with other photographers, and then eventually just turned into Sara being my photographer.
Yeah.
And
child labor.
Yeah, well, free labor, a sibling labor, okay? And then we switched it around to where I started taking her photos, and now we both take each other's photos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the other thing about siblings. You can use them when you like.
Exactly. And the reason I did that, the reason why I really wanted to create a blog for her was I had been in the industry for such a long time, and I really wanted to... kind of have someone to go to all these events with and have like a partner in crime where we could do different things together. And honestly, it was like, oh my god, like, you already take my photos, you do go to some events with me, so why don't you actually have your own thing as well?
Yeah, for sure. And I think, do you remember the first event we went to together?
Oh,
it was Mama's Pizza.
Oh, not Mama's Pizza.
Papa Giuseppe?
No, it was...
Did I make this up? DiGiorno.
DiGiorno,
no,
yes.
Was it DiGiorno?
Yes, it was. It was Dr. Oetker's.
Dr. Oetker's.
Yeah, they have a brand. Okay.
And they have, like, their Nona, who's like the face of their company all over this like mega mansion in North York.
Somewhere. Yeah, it was like York Mills.
So I had just written an exam at York University.
Yeah, yeah. And at that time, both of us, by the way, were students when we started our blogs.
Yeah. And I remember you picked me up and you were like, we're going to an event. We stopped by... I
want
to say like a Shoppers and just like
yeah we did we went to a Shoppers, we refreshed our makeup because we're both greasy, and touched up. And then we were like confused because usually events are in event spaces. And
so yeah, it was kind of like, it was strange to see a residential address. And then, oh my gosh, for the first time us walking in, it was like everyone from the PR team, they had a footballer there.
Yeah.
They all like burst out.
Gave us a heart attack and they wanted that. And yeah, I forgot to tell my sisters that day, they're kind of recording everything just in case to use it for like commercial purposes. So that was really funny. Yeah, no, that was wild. That was your first event.
That was my first event. And boy, was I not ready for it. I was uncomfortable because I didn't know what to expect of other people. And it, to second me, it wasn't a fashion crowd. It was just a food.
Yeah, it was one of my first non-fashion events where it was like, it was a diverse mix. We still had some people. Like we had Do the Daniel was there.
Yeah.
And his husband, I believe, was there as well. But outside of that, it was just foodies. And we were just like, what is going on?
We were happy.
Well, yeah, no. And they're great. I love the foodies because they're just there for the food. And so are we. So.
Yeah, we gotta keep ourselves plus.
Damn right. Okay, so what we really wanted to talk about in today's podcast was pretty much like the Canadian fashion scene and getting into plus size fashion here in Canada. So I really want to get into kind of the different platforms that we have here in Canada, whether it was Toronto Fashion Week or even just having Canadian designers running their businesses here.
Yeah, it's been an interesting mix. We have more than one show in Toronto. So there's...
We had. They're all gone.
It's not even just because of COVID. These shows, as great as they were, there was something lacking in terms of behind-the-scenes productions and...
It was funding.
Maybe it was funding.
Yeah, I think it was funding. And I think it was the lack of interest where it just didn't make sense for all the sponsors to... Oh, this is our speculation and allegedly, just gonna put that out there.
Yeah.
But I'm assuming it was a lack of funding, which meant there wasn't enough interest either. So it just didn't make any financial sense to keep it going.
Yeah, and I think that's really sad because the Toronto, like the designers in Toronto are so talented and it was one of the few platforms that would bring attention to them. But and at the time, you know what, they'd be featured in news casts and it helped diversify the industry a little bit because you would see people buying tickets that just wanted to see the shows and meet people. But by the time I kind of joined the scene, it was already slowing down.
Yeah, when I started off, Fashion Week was in a ginormous tent on David Pico Square in Toronto, and it was an event. Like, it was easily about, like, it could fit 30, 40,000 people in there. And it was a big deal. Like, Target was a sponsor, MasterCard was a big sponsor, and it was totally different. Like, it was like, it felt like you were in a big city where it was like New York or Milan. And then eventually it became a mall fashion show.
Well, eventually, yeah, we were inside what's turned into a condo, but the Waterworks was the first time I went to
fashion. That was Toronto Men's Fashion Week.
The
first time you went,
yes.
Yeah. Toronto Men's Fashion Week.
I think
I believe it started off in Fairmont Royal York, the hotel. And that was beautiful. Like, obviously, it's a great backdrop. But I think there might have been, like, it was hard to do lighting or something like that. I'm not exactly sure what happened there.
I'm sure it also affected the people actually staying in the hotel.
Yeah, I can imagine. It might have been difficult. But, like, it's a large hotel, so they're probably able to accommodate. There was never an issue where it was, like, too small or anything like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was also nice because it was, like, in winter it would have been great just because it would have kept everyone warm.
Yeah.
And then we moved to College Park. I don't know. Did you ever go to anything with me to College Park? I don't think you did.
No, it was the Waterworks was my first.
Yeah, and that was
off of Richmond.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's Spadina.
Yes, yes, that was.
And it turned into a condo now, which makes me so sad because I had so many memories tied. We got caught in the rain going to that fashion week.
Oh my god.
We got lost many times getting
to that was location. Quite the fashion week too. Was, yeah. The looks that we had that day, oh my god.
Yeah. I mean, we were still learning, we were still experimenting.
I mean, I had no excuse, but like, mm-hmm. No, I kept it pretty simple. I'm not gonna lie. That was my more boring
clean
dream.
I still live for every outfit I wore. I mean, so.
For yourself. Do you want to get into the hair?
The hair was a little bit of a... You know what? I've become better with styling my hair.
Yeah, no, that was hilarious.
I was always a tomboy. I always had a good sense of fashion and a good sense of art, but the learning to do my makeup and hair took a little bit of time.
No, I think your makeup is always on point. I think it was just the barrel that you used was a little bit smaller. And it
did
very tight curls and she ended up looking like one of those like 70s athletic gym teachers.
Live for that.
Yeah, I know that is a vibe now, to be honest. The whole look. Yeah, so that's really where we were exposed, or she was exposed at least. I had been doing it for many years before that for fashion events. And at that time, I don't think at Toronto Men's they had any designers that were specific to plus size.
No.
Or had even any plus size.
I think
models.
The plus size scene was actually just developing. We hadn't had a plus size model like Ashley Graham. She was modeling for Additionnel at the time, which was a clothing store.
But was Ashley Graham, was she a big deal at that point? Because I know she really blew up.
She released a lingerie line. This is before she got the swimsuit cover. And
really? Yeah, that was before?
That was before. She was like the lead model and then people started she started landing a lot of campaigns. And as a plus size woman, Additionnel, I believe, allegedly, hired her to gain that momentum with her lingerie line. And it was kind of like racy, sexy lingerie for plus size women, which was something that was unavailable on the market or not marketed really well.
Oh, I always thought like Sports Illustrated came, that made her a household name. No,
she was there for
she
quite
had
some
her lingerie years. Line. Yeah. Okay, that's amazing.
Yeah, so she's been killing it for many years and definitely is a pioneer for plus size fashion.
Yeah, but we didn't really have anyone that had that level of exposure here in Canada.
Yes.
Even though we did have a very strong retailer, or two very strong plus-size fashion retailers for women, and then I believe two for men. So that would be Additionnel and Pennington's, and then we have...
But I wouldn't say Pennington's is, like, a strong plus-size retailer. Like, they have some pieces that are great, but I honestly...
No, but in the sense of, like, them having a lot of stores, I think... They do have a decent amount of stores.
Yeah.
Just like Mr. Big and Tall and George Richards in Canada, I think, have a decent amount of stores.
Yeah.
But those two would be the leading ones for women. And then George Richards and Mr. Big and Tall would be the two leading ones for men. But there is no designer at that time showing plus size figures on the runway.
Yeah.
Or ever, from my experience. I don't remember for men, but I know for women there were.
They had just started breaking into the scene and like normalizing, you know, everyday, I'm going to say everyday bodies, but just people that you would see across, you know, on the street.
It didn't... Yeah, it was no longer that like whole entire, you had to be super buff or like a size 00.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, fashion definitely became a little bit more accessible since then for everybody, and it's become more inclusive. There's still steps to take, and of course, we're starting to see it within regular retailers, like the standard clothing stores like H&M starting to carry plus size.
I mean, do they really do plus? I feel like they just do double XL, right? For men. I don't know about women.
Truly plus, in my opinion. Their clothing is...
Is just an extended size range.
Well, and then they do have plus size clothes, but I think their line was kind of limited. You would see like 5,000 pieces for standard sizing and maybe like 100 for plus size total, including denim tops. And that's quite a large range to cover within 100 pieces. I don't know how many they have now, but it has grown a little bit. And the sizing, when I initially tried it, I thought it was a little bit small. And...
Well, I mean, that's H&M in general.
Yeah.
I feel like H&M and Zara are both the leaders in just sizing.
European sizing.
Yeah, European sizing.
That's code for we make it small, so you're too thick.
Yeah, you're too thick to fit in.
But I think when I initially started, I was more closer to a size 16. And even then, like in H&M, I tried on a pair of jeans that were size 22 and they fit. But oh my gosh, getting those over my cheeks.
It was a Yeah, that's crazy to me. So, like, even I remember even Zara, when I started blogging, I was a size large men. And that was, like, a standard size. And I would have to fit into a double XL for Zara. Like, that's how different their sizing is. But in general, like, I feel like a lot of the retailers here in Canada, there's no one that's really pushing it. If that makes sense. Like, there's, I feel like Additionnel was that one brand that we had where they were actually fashion forward. They were putting out new collections and keeping up with the trends.
Yeah.
But I feel
it was a big loss. I've seen the comments on Facebook and Instagram and social media from the frustration that younger women are facing now because we don't have access to those clothes. And, like, the other plus size clothes you get are either, like, Marina Rinaldi, which is, like, a very expensive line.
Or, like, ASOS, but that's not easy for us to get as Canadians because there's customs.
You get, like, Boohoo or Shein, which are just very low quality, in my opinion, clothes. I've ordered from
There's
Shein
nothing and, really in the middle. Yeah. It's either super luxe or super,
and
like,
they're not
cheap and
freestanding
cheerful.
Stores where you can go in and get that experience that Additionnel used to offer. They would style you. They would, you know, help you look good, and it was a head-to-toe
and get you
fashion.
Fitted, and it was more personalized.
Yes, it was like a head-to-toe fashion store for plus-size girls, where we could find suits and business attire, which is hard to find nowadays.
Which is a little bit different, because for men, we have traditional retailers that are for big and tall men, but at the same time, it's just what they offer, to me, is always out of date. It's always so bland. It's always so, like, ugh.
The colors are black and gray.
Yeah, it's just so, like, blah, 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 blah.
Now, but you know what's great about men's fashion now? You have a lot more access to bespoke clothing.
But, yeah, that is a good point. We have access to made-to-measure and bespoke, but at the same time, it costs a significantly large amount to do that. So it's like, is it really fair if your only option to do something interesting is to spend 3 or 4 times the amount of just going to a store?
I think that's what it comes down to. There's a fat tax.
Yeah, there is a fat tax. And so we need to get into that. Okay. You're the worst. I can't. She was just like,
I like to make him a little bit.
I know she loves
when
it.
When he does do like
things like that. Maybe she tried it. Okay, so before we get into fat tax, though, I wanted to bring up some just like the plus size fashion scene outside of fashion shows and stuff like that. Oh wait, no, we want to give a shout out to some of the designers that do plus size fashion.
Oh yeah, for sure, Hillary McMillan.
Yeah, Hillary McMillan, she kills it. And who else? Haley Alsayasser.
Yes.
I'm not sure if I pronounced her last name correctly, but
you know
she
what?
Does a really good job.
Is it Manny Jessel?
Manny Jessel, yeah.
They featured plus size models, and I know that they do go up to a 2-3X. I know that's not fully inclusive, but it's nice to have that option. I know she tailors the clothes and can take your measurements and make any outfit. So for
it's more for weddings,
there,
right?
It like is, and it's South Asian dressing, but I love that that was always included in Fashion Week.
Yeah, at least it showed the diversity that's in Canada to have a Indian designer showing and getting such a huge response. Honestly, she would bring out more people than any of the other fashion shows.
Yeah.
Like, actually.
Yeah. She grew really quickly, and, like, it's nice to see, like, a person of color killing it at the scene.
Yeah. So, now I wanted to jump into just highlighting some plus-size fashion influencers here in Toronto.
And first. You know what? I'm gonna say the Toronto plus-size community is one of the best communities ever.
I find the regular fashion industry to be super, like, toxic and
catty,
but I find the plus size girls to be so nice.
You know what?
Lovely.
It's we already know the struggle that's going on. It's very obvious that we don't blend into the crowd. I think with the influencers that I would call straight size influencers, they kind of try and make sure that you feel that way. Not all of them, but there's a good chunk of them that try and isolate you or will just start talking about you for no reason.
And I find it to be so interesting in that respect that they do try to make you feel like the other, as if you're going to be some sort of competition to them. Yeah. It's like, we're in completely different lanes.
Meanwhile, with plus size, when I see a plus size girl or a plus size guy getting a campaign, showing up on a billboard, it makes my heart celebrate.
Yeah, no, it's so cool. Yeah. Like, I love seeing the plus size guys out there just killing it and doing it. And same with the plus size girls. Like,
I feel that way about anyone in Toronto that I know. When I see them somewhere, oh, it makes me so happy and like filled with joy. But it's definitely not something that's reciprocated towards us. But it is when it comes to the plus size community. We are very supportive of each other. There is like this underlying love for everyone. And I want to give a big shout out to someone like Mike Curves and Curls, Asa, who's just phenomenal.
She's amazing.
Who else do you want to give a shout out to?
I mean, oh my God, there's so many people. Yeah. There's so many
Miss
women.
Miss Lionhunter.
Miss Lionhunter.
Miss Wooshik. Her and her sister run a fabulous blog together. And it's called The Short and Tall End of Style.
Really? Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, it's very cute. There's Amidst the Chaos. She's not plus size fashion, but she's a plus size lifestyle blogger. Just a very positive group and the nicest people you will meet. Yeah,
they're really nice. I wish there was more for men.
There's a lot. You know what? The scene's growing, especially in like New York and
US. That's the thing. In the US, there are so many plus size menswear influencers. I think here there's myself, but I think there is Jordan D'Amico. He's more lifestyle. I don't necessarily wouldn't be like, oh, he's just fashion focused. Yeah. But he's plus size and I think he does a really great job.
Yeah.
I think outside of us, I'm not entirely sure, but for Canada speaking, I think it's just us too.
And there's more than us for you.
For men.
But if there's any plus size male bloggers, give us a shout out. Like, we would love to see you and, you know?
Me and party it up. I feel like I would love to meet more plus size men here in the city that are doing content creation.
Oh, I love a guy that's dressed up. Not that, I'm starting to sound creepy.
You are always creepy, so that's
just worse. Been used to the PJ life for a little bit too long. Not used to dressing up anymore.
Yeah, but when I see the guys in New York and in LA, there's Addy and Calvin and all these guys that are killing it and doing all of these amazing campaigns. It's like, wow, like, this is amazing. Like, we need more of this representation.
Yeah.
But I'm happy that there are some people that are actually doing it. And then there's this guy named Suiz. I'm not entirely sure if that's his name or just his Instagram handle. But he just did the whole entire Fenty show. I think he's one of the first plus size guys to be a part of her Fenty Savage show.
Oh, very cool.
Very cool, yeah. So I thought that was awesome. What else did we want to talk about? Oh, yes. We want to talk about plus size stores in Canada versus the United States. And for me, it is wildly different. I find for men, it's still, once again, very limited. We have DXL, which is American, and they finally come to Canada. But I find them to be pretty much on par with what we're doing here in Canada. I mean, they have a larger offering and better brands, but I still find it to be like, womp womp, like, it's still plain, it's still...
It's very a preppy vibe or...
Yeah, it's very essential. It's very essential. It's not like they're doing anything high fashion or fashion forward, but
I think that's
cute.
Very limiting. Yeah, there needs to be, like, a additional for plus-size men.
At least America, they have Eloquii and...
But that's for women. I wish there was an Eloquii for men, and I wish Eloquii shipped to Canada without... charging us an extra $20. It covers duties though, which is more than
That's fair.
And I really like ASOS as well. It's just paying those duties. That bag that says ASOS is like the magnet for CBSA agents.
Oh my God.
Like, yes,
ASOS's shipping is insane. Like,
you pay 50% almost.
Taxes
allegedly that they've calculated, but I don't know how they reach those calculations.
Yeah, that's so true, because there's so many times where I've done like an order for like $200 and I'll be paying $80.
Yeah.
and taxes, and I'm like, what is going on?
I think like the ratio when I place an order on ASOS is I expect to pay at least 50% more. Yeah. But I always use that code CA15 to get that 15% off.
I love so how you have it 35%
tax. Yeah.
Oh my god, what a mess.
Yeah. But I wish they opened a location for even if it was for returns.
That would be nice.
Within Canada, where they ship it out in one big mass, because you get charged the second time it arrives too. Like if they send you the wrong size, you pay duties twice.
Yeah, that really gets on my nerves. Yeah. And I had a situation where I ordered, I think, 5 pairs of shoes and none of them fit. First of all, I was surprised because like that was my shoe size in every other brand. But when I ordered from them, they for some reason were just really narrow. And I do have a wider foot, but it's not like that much wider. I still fit into standard size shoes. So I was just like, wow, this is crazy. So all of them had to go back and I ended up losing the taxes I paid.
Yeah.
Okay. So I wanted to get into how we could improve the Canadian fashion industry and what we need to do in order for us to achieve that here.
Yes, I think it's very easy to look back at something and find all the problems, but it's much more difficult to critically think of how to fix those issues in the industry. I think it's kind of like a vibe check needs to be done for Toronto. I've always said we have a lot more in common than we all think.
Yeah.
And everyone, it's nice to have that support system of people that kind of understand what you're doing. A lot of bloggers do this full time as their like life. They write, they create content, and I know that sounds kind of weird that influencer life has become kind of heavily criticized by the public, but it's not as easy as
it seems.
Yeah,
even for myself, I was a full-time blogger for quite a few years. Like that was my livelihood, and there's so much work that goes behind it that I don't think people realize. Because I get DMs here and there from people being like, oh, like get a real job, and I'm like, do you understand how much goes into this?
Yeah.
And like now I'm doing this to supplement my income with my actual career outside of being an influencer or a blogger, and it's still so taxing, and it has so much that goes into it, from even just negotiating a contract. One contract could
or
be...
Or getting paid for those.
Yeah, chasing those payments for a contract is impossible as well. But that's a ton of work. Like, that's a full-time job on its own, and I feel like people forget.
It's very easy to just go out and... I'm not going to lie. You do need some sort of, like, fashion sense or something to talk about when it comes to social media. You're not just going to follow someone unless they're a very pretty face. For like what they're wearing every day. So you definitely, there are some things that you need to already bring to the table, but there's also, like you said, a lot of work that goes behind the scenes. We went to Montreal one time with our cousins.
Oh my god. And they finally see it, and they were just like, whoa,
because they thought it was kind of, you know, easy. You go out, we were in like -30 degree weather.
Yeah, I just got my fillers and my cold sculpting on my neck, and I slept on my face the day I had my fillers done, and my lips were all janky. And then we were in Montreal.
Cold out that day.
It was like -22 before wind chill, which was insane.
Yeah, and we were outside shooting like turtlenecks, like strappy heels for me.
Trying to look cute. Yeah, like it was.
And we woke up super early because like we wanted to avoid the tourists. We got a really great place actually, thanks to Airbnb.
Yeah, that was amazing. And that was, I think that really showed them at least that, like, listen, there's
They were like, oh my gosh, we didn't realize it was that much work.
Yeah. And they were like, oh my god, this is annoying. Like,
sorry.
How to deal
like
with it?
It was like a 3-day trip and we took like 3 suitcases.
Yeah, it was insane.
We don't pack light.
Yeah, but in terms of, I think, improving the Canadian market, it's difficult because brands a lot of time, or even retailers, they'll try to use the excuse of, retailers don't want big and tall clothing because it's not going to sell. But at the same time, there's so many people that are like, hey, hello, you're totally ignoring us. Mm-hmm. We don't have anything to buy. And
I think the other thing is there needs to be consistency from the retailers. Not just say, hey, I'm going to release a plus size line for the publicity and then featured their like leftover fabrics.
Right, right. And I find that, and that's one criticism I had of H&M. I found when I checked out their plus size collection when it first launched, the fabric was dingy.
Yeah, it was not the same as what they were selling. And I understand it's a difficult, like, it's a very difficult market to break into when you don't understand sizing. You haven't hired the right people.
But at the same time,
a brand as big as H&M
yeah,
should have put that time and effort and energy into understanding plus size bodies.
Yeah.
I think one of the few brands that have invested, that did invest, I don't know if they're still doing plus size collections currently, but Le Chateau, they hired a fit doctor, which they paid a lot of money to determine the way women carry their weight.
That's really cool.
Yeah, to help fit, the clothes fit better. And Additional did put that time. They had people that they would try clothes on.
Yeah, I'm not sure if Le Chateau is going to still do plus size or if they're still doing it, just because I read something. Along the lines of that they're going to be closing down, they might be closing down by the end of the year, which is crazy to think about.
Yeah, they've been around for quite a bit.
Yeah, and I know they've been going through financial struggles, but I think COVID was really the thing that like set them off the edge.
It was a lot of, for a lot of companies, it was the final nail in the coffin.
Right. Well, we're going to have to get into that conversation later because there's a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah, but overall, this was a really fun conversation. I can't wait for you guys to hear more.
Yeah.
I feel like we always have these sort of conversations anyways. Like, we are always discussing these sort of things and having fun conversations, but I feel like it's nice
today
to...
Today was a little bit serious, but yeah.
Yeah, I know. I feel like we really got into it, but I think it's because we're so passionate about this topic, mm-hmm. So it's just, like, a lot of tea. Yeah, but overall, we should always say this part too. You should follow us.
Yes, the Prep Gal, GAL.
And I'm the Prep Guy. And tune in next time.
Send us a DM if you watched.
If you watched, oh my God.
You got your ears listening to
this. What did you do? Well, yeah, if you tuned in, be sure to send us a DM or tweet at us. You can find us on all social media platforms. And be sure to subscribe to Spotify or follow us wherever our podcast is available. All right. See you guys.
See you later.
Bye.